All right.
Thank you, Pastor Tom. Our ushers, if they would come forward, they have a flyer that they're going to be giving out to each one. You already did that? Okay, cool. Good. You know, as Neil, we have different ones that we get to connect to because we continue to believe it's good and healthy to connect to people outside of here in ministries. And so we continue to look, and we have pioneers that go out. Appreciate Jordan Heather Pearson connected us with Neil. One of the things Neil was talking to him, he said, what most people don't realize is God is doing an awesome work over in Syria, in Turkey, Iraq, Iran. Says you're just never going to hear about it. You always not hear it, but there is many people coming to Christ and good things going over there. It's just that those nations have been closed and we don't get that information. So that's some of the blessing that we have. I know there's Abby Noblet, which Ryan's fiance here in a few weeks is going to go up to. There's a ministry called Key Ministry up in Cleveland that we're slowly getting connected with, and it's their ministry is helping churches build ministries to families with special needs. It was really awesome. I just this week talked to a rabbi in New York City who has this special needs ministry, and they do a worship service with all these families with special needs kids comes in. I mean, some of these kids can't move. I mean, they're just, and some of them can move around everything. And I told people, I said, if I would ask you to come in and watch this video, and I would say to you, I would tell you what it is, and I'd say, hey, do you want to see what the Marian Christian Center used to be like 20 years ago? You would think it was our church. It was unbelievable. I mean, they're dancing in the aisles, they're these kids, and they're doing all kinds of stuff. And yet, this rabbi I was talking to, I thought, we're that close. It's like my daughter Ruthie lives over in Paris. She's a nanny for a Jewish family. And you got to share the gospel with them about 2 months ago. They said, we've never heard this before. Never, ever heard this before. And I thought, well, for such a time as this. And yet she told him, she goes, my God is the same as your God, except he came down and he died for us and he gave his life for us, the name of Jesus. And so, you know, that close. I know in a few next, in March, Alexandra and some ones are going down to celebrate recovery, which is a ministry that we're looking at possibly connecting with. So we have these pioneers who go out and check things out for us and just see what God's doing out there and see if it's a part of our destiny, which is, you know, something we've been talking about here for last few weeks. And, you know, destiny, you know, a lot of times in the last few weeks we talked about that our destiny is really, really closely connected to our relationship with God. And, you know, some of us, you might feel that you messed up so bad that you've been so far away from God or things just haven't worked out in your life that there's just a disconnect there and that's just the way it's going to be for the rest of your life. There's, you know, God, I sort of missed it. I did miss it, totally missed it. And, you know, okay, I'm good. I'm just going to live through life. And there's no sense of, you know, picking and being right back into that. And there was a man back in the Jesus' days. His Jewish name was Saul. Back then, the Jews, they gave, usually had two names. They gave a Jewish name, and then they gave a Greek name. And so this Saul, he got saved. He came to know Christ, and they called him a lot. Most people call him by the name of Paul, the Apostle Paul. And he wrote several letters, which is most of the New Testament. And one of those letters was the letter to called Galatians. And we call it a book, but it was really, it's a letter. And you know, the thing is Galatia was where Turkey is right now, the nation of Turkey. That's where that is. And so Paul wrote this letter, and he encourages, you know, everybody should read this. How many of you have ever read the book of Galatians? I would encourage you to read the book of Galatians. You can read the book of Galatians easily in an afternoon, or much shorter than that, you know, just a little bit of time. And it's an awesome book. It's just an awesome, awesome book. And in there, he was talking about himself, and he said, you know what? He said, this is what my life used to be like. He said, I was really excelling in Judaism in these two things. I was persecuting the church. Now, who's the church? Who in here is the church? Right? He's basically saying, I was persecuting you. And he goes, and my goal was to destroy you. That's what he said. His goal was to destroy the church. And yet, after he was doing this, I mean, we're talking about children being sent to prison. And, you know, and then today, if we put it in a modern today, that's going on today. There's nations where there's, you know, you'll go over in Iraq and stuff, people being, it's like one of the ISIS members killing Christians. That's about what it is, because they weren't of the same religion. They didn't believe. And his belief wasn't necessarily just the Old Testament. It was Judaism, he was a Pharisee, which was all the traditions. So there was a whole bunch of stuff mixed up in there. There was a lot of culture stuff. It wasn't just Bible stuff. There was a lot of cultural things, and who knows what all, you know, they had. But he goes, and he's talking about this, and this is what he says. After all the stuff he's done, he says, but when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles. Now, here's a man who is destroying the church. Years and years of this, and yet he still had this revelation that even though I was destroying and I was totally against God, he had the revelation that God had his hand on my life. That God, from the even before the beginning, before he was ever out, he had his hand on me. That God had a plan, and his grace was on me. And it says here, when he says he set me apart, what that basically means is that God put a boundary around my life. Now I know, you know, all of us have boundaries. The Bible said that God set the exact time for you, when you were going to be born and where you're going to be born. That's in the book of Acts chapter 16. And he says, so God put these boundaries. Now, I realized at a certain age that there was boundaries in my life. Well, when I was younger, you wouldn't believe how many NBA championships I won playing basketball, or how many Super Bowls my friends and I played out in our side yard, and we won playing football. You know, but there was a reality at some point in my life, I realized I wasn't going to make the NBA, and I wasn't going to play professional, because there were boundaries. Some of them's physical boundaries, some of them's wherever, but God has set boundaries. And he says, he was pleased to reveal his son to me so that I might preach. This word, he was pleased to reveal. I think it's interesting. Here, Paul says, he was pleased to reveal his son in me, not to me. What this word here, reveal, this word reveal means, it means to take away things that conceal something. So Paul was saying that God came into my life, into his life, into our lives, and he began to take away those things that conceal him from ourselves. And he was saying, you know, he began to show that so that Christ can be seen in me. You know, it's not just what we get. It's Christ in us. God wants to reveal Christ in you, because you're a testimony. You yourself. You know, what disqualifying event has happened in your life that you've disqualified yourself from this? Say, well, no, God can't use me. God can't, this has happened. Or, you know, you could be a Christian for 40 years and still come up with a disqualifying event. Okay, I'm too old now. Or, you know, I don't have the education. You know, there's too much going on, or I just don't want. There's all kinds of things, that excuses we can come up with, that is a disqualifying event, that we're basically not allowing God to allow Christ in us to come forth and reveal himself to us. God wants us. That's part of our destiny, is for Christ. From the very beginning, he has a purpose for Christ to come forth in us and reveal himself in every aspect. Reveal himself as a husband, as a wife, as a mom, as a dad. Reveal himself as an athlete, as an artist, as a student, as a teacher, as an employee, as an employer, as whatever. Christ, God wants to reveal Christ in you, and you uniquely. Because there's some way that Christ is going to be revealed in you that it's not going to be seen in me. And he needs to be seen in you, whatever that is. So do not allow your past, excuses, things that went on, because here's a man who tried to destroy the church that still had this revelation that God, from the very beginning, from your very beginning, Christ set you apart that he might reveal himself in you. He wants to reveal himself to you, but that's so he can reveal himself through you also. So that's part of destiny. You know, another thing we talked about is the whole thing. And I just want to take a moment. Let's take a moment real quick here and just pray. If you just felt like there's been that disconnect and you've made a disqualifying event or maybe several events and you just have given up, we're just going to pray and welcome. And I just ask you to receive, if this relates to you, just receive this. And Father, we just welcome you. We thank you for your Holy Spirit you sent. And we just ask this day for each one here, God. Each one in their own heart and mind who have disqualified themselves or are not even qualified to even begin, Lord, that they would understand and receive and see that from before they were born that you set them apart, God. And there's no disqualifying event that they've ever done that will keep them from you, God, and keep them from fulfilling your destiny in their life. We thank you for that. We thank you, Holy Spirit. Just setting ones free. We just break lies in the name of Jesus. Even as we sang the song, breaking chains of lies in our thoughts and our minds over this. In Jesus' name. You know, another thing we discussed was being created in God's likeness. You know, if you have a close spirit towards someone, what you don't want is to be like them at all. You don't want anything to do with them. You don't want to be around them. You don't want to have anything that resembles them. It's something that every one of us has to pay attention to and listen to. Is our spirit closed to God? Do we have any desire to be like him? If you do not, I would ask you to look at your heart and say, where have you closed your spirit? You know, there's all kinds of things that can close our spirit. Somebody else, it's our reaction with the church, could close our spirit. Well, I didn't like so-and-so, or I didn't like that, or they're not doing this the way they should have and all that. And what we basically is, they're our target, but he's the reason. We're really blaming God. You know, if something's not happening in life like you want, you can blame everybody else, but inside, you can close your heart to God, because ultimately inside, you never want to admit it. We never want to admit, well, God, this is you doing this, but the reality is we're closing our spirit toward God. And so it's something, you know, if you don't want to be like him, you have no desire for him, and we don't have time to get into how to open someone's spirit, all of it, but, you know, the first thing is just talk to him about it. Say, God, you know, all these parables and all the things, you know, the word that we kept hitting in these parables about good and noble heart and good spirit, every one of those, if you look at the root word of that, it means to be honest. And the first step to be an open spirit is to be honest and not lie to yourself, you know, and say, God, you know, my spirit, I don't desire you. I don't feel anything towards you. I don't care about your word. I don't care about your spirit. I don't care about destiny, but help me. That's the key. It's not just ending there. You know, it's not just saying what you don't. It's like, but God, because he will. He will. God, help me. To love. Help me to have that. You know, in the book of Romans, it says, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. One of the key ways of keeping your hearts open to God is by worshiping him and being thankful to him. I'm not talking about how you feel. I'm not whether you feel like it or not. I'm saying what the truth is. That this is who he is, and if you want to keep an open heart, a healthy heart, continue to give him thanks. Continue to praise him for who he is. There's a verse that says, in Romans, it says, they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the creator who is forever praised. And last one says, furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain knowledge of God, so he gave them over to depraved mind. There's something about worshiping Him and celebrating Him. You know, in staff this last week, we discussed, we threw out the question, you know, we talked about soils and the parable of soils and how your soil could become no good, which is represents your heart. How can you keep that from happening? How can you prevent your soil from becoming bad? How can you keep good soil and keep it? And so we just threw that out and several shared different things. And one of the main things was be a worshiper, to give thanks and be a worshiper. Another thing is watch your thought life. Your thoughts are the gate to what gets into your soul. And you have control over it. Nobody else does. You have control over what you allow in. And you know, and your feelings might want to just grab a hold of things and want to just, yeah, justify, but you still have control of your thought life. And that is a gate, and that's a door that you have power to swing open and close what you want to allow in. Another thing is, what are you doing what do you do to build yourself up, to bring life to you, to make sure that's happened? One of the key things that was shared in our staff meeting was the importance that we need each other. You know, with each other, we are encouraged. We need to encourage each other. We need to counsel one another. We need the challenge of one another. We need the protection from one another so that we don't fall away and fall into sin. There's a pastor named Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He was a pastor during World War II. And, he was actually executed by the SS and Nazis. And because he preached the gospel, he preached the truth. And he was telling the church in Germany was being subjected to the Nazism and being conformed to that. And he says, that is not God. And because of that, he was arrested and ended up killed for it. But he said this. He said, sin demands to have a man by himself. It withdraws him from the community. The more isolated a person is, the more destructive will be the power of sin over him. It's important we have people in our life, because as we isolate, if the enemy can get us isolated, then he can get us. You know, and when I talk of sin, that doesn't mean you're going to become an alcoholic or something. Just your thought life. You just become faithless. You don't have any power of that. You know, and it's interesting. Well, I'm going to go there because we have time. You know, most of the parables we looked at was related to your destiny is connected to your attitude toward God. And it's not a matter of getting to heaven. We're not talking about whether I'm going to get saved or not. We're talking about your quality of life and a sense of destiny. The Apostle Paul in the book of Romans, which is another letter he wrote to the church there, he says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is our true and proper worship. Then he goes on and says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. As Pastor Thomas talked about, we want to know what God's will is. We want to know what is perfect, but how does that happen? If you go to that verse before that, it starts with worship. It starts with getting a right perspective of God. Because God's not just my buddy. You know, he's not just a good friend I can call up every once in a while or say hello. He's not just somebody that if I get a need, I can ask him for stuff. You know, he's God. He's God that can destroy me like that. But he won't, because he loves me. And I'm his son, you know, and you're sons and daughters of him. But it's the whole thing with this pattern. You know, there's all kinds of patterns in life. And patterns, the question is, if somebody was looking at your pattern of your life, what would they say? Would there be enough difference in your life to say that you're not patterned after the world? Is there enough of Christ coming out of you? And are you allowing Christ to be revealed enough in you that somebody would even say you're a Christian? That's you and God. You and God. You know, the thing is, again, just be honest with him. You know, just say, God, I need you. This is not happening. How can I make this happen? You know, how can I have that in my life? Rita, could you come? Where's Rita at? Rita Dudley. You know, there's a verse in Proverbs. It says, guard your heart. Now, Rita, you might know Rita. I'm not going to let her hit me. I don't have a choice, yeah. I think I told you one time, there was a guy, when I was going to OSU, there was a guy, he was like the middleweight, I think it's Taekwondo champion, you know, of the U.S. or something. And this guy come running in into the student there. He goes, hey, he goes, come out here. There's this guy that you could try to hit as hard as you want, and you can't. I go, yeah. So let's go out. I wasn't saved yet, but so I probably still would feel that way anyways. But so I went out there, and so this guy, and I was trying to hit him. I mean, I could not touch him. But I'm not going to try to hit Rita, and she's not going to try to hit me. So, Marita, show us how you would guard yourself if somebody was going to come at you or things were coming out. How would you guard yourself? Depends on what. Did you hear that? It depends on what's coming at you. Sometimes you have to take different positions because of what. So if I was going to come at you and, whoa. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. We said defense, not offense. There's a lesson there. So you mean like the verse in the Bible that says, if we walk in the Spirit, we will not gratify our sinful nature. So the best defense is a good offense. So if we're walking with God and we're seeking God, then I know I'm not even gonna move. I probably have my throat. Try something else. Yeah, you just want me to get hit. That's all you want. The legs. No, I'm not trying anything. No, because she was a kickbox champion. That's what I know. I didn't even touch it. She was whatever. She was a champion of something I'm not. And so, well, thank you, Rita, for that. I know there's several of you out there wanting her to hit me, but we got the musicians come on back up. So again, it's important for us, important for each one of us, to guard our hearts. Because as this verse in Proverbs says, you know, the verses prior to this was talking about being in the Word of God and pondering the Word of God and letting God's Word be in us. And then it says, this verse, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. So there's something about watching our heart, because the reality is we have an enemy who doesn't care about us. But the good news is we have a God who overcame the enemy, and he does care about us, and he loves us. And he sent his son, not just to die for us, but he was resurrected so that the Holy Spirit could come and live in each one of us. This is not just a Holy Spirit. This is the Holy Spirit who's part of the Godhead, who is God Almighty, who created everything. The Holy Spirit lives in you if Christ is in you. So if we could stand. And I'm going to ask our personal ministry team if they would come up. But before we sing our final song here, I guess the question I present today is, are you willing to commit to live and pursue why you were set apart before you were even born? To look to God and listen and say, God, I want that. I want to live and pursue that which you created me, that Christ may be revealed in me in every way possible. Apostle Paul in Philippians said, I count everything I've ever done, even all the good stuff. I mean, by the time he wrote this in Philippians chapter 3, he had done a lot of stuff. Mostly evangelized most of the world, known world back then. He did a lot of stuff. And yet he said, I count that as all loss so that I can still reach out and attain that. There's not an age where God turns the switch off. Or a circumstance, say, okay, you've done enough. You know, it's a part of our whole life. So if that's something, you say, God, I want to commit my life to you afresh, to pursue you, your destiny, and the very reason that I'm here, that Christ may reveal to me and be a testimony. If that's something you say, if you just lift your hand up to him, and as you got your hand up, we're going to pray and welcome. God, you see these hands, you see these hearts, God, and even ones who it's hard for them to raise their hand, hard for one to even believe. Holy Spirit, we welcome the resurrection power of Christ, who took the very body that was dead and raised it to life, that you would take our hearts, God, our soul, our spirit, and raise them to life afresh this day, that we might be living for Christ, dead to sin, dead to the things of the past, but alive to Christ, alive to your purpose, God. We welcome you, Holy Spirit, breathing the resurrection power into our spirit. We thank you in Jesus' name. I want to remind ones, give or have a discover, it's all the way back in the Family Life Center. Last week, we talked about Who is Jesus, a list by Chuck Smith. Those are up here if anybody wants a list of all those things we discussed last week. When we're done today, again, remind you, if you just take 3 minutes or so, instead of running to people you know, go to somebody you don't know. And just say hi, introduce yourself, welcome him here. God bless you and fulfill God's purpose. Ryan's going to lead us in a closing song and close us in prayer.